Friends, it's hard to believe, but it is true that this congregation took the daring risk to ordain a woman almost 46 years ago. So since that happened, all the credit goes to the congregation. I just wanted to be ordained. They're the ones who took the risk. So I take it that I've managed to turn this thing on. Right, okay. Since that time, well, obviously I've accrued 46 years, plus glasses and hearing aids. So, and an inability or an unwillingness to risk going downstairs without holding on to something. That's why I took Susan's arm. Thank you. Yep. I see heads nodding. I'm probably not the only one who looks for the handrail. From Matthew's Gospel, the passage that we call the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak. And he taught them in this way, saying, "Blessed are those who know their need of God, for theirs is the realm of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those of a gentle spirit, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst to see right prevail. They shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." This is the word of God. So we just said to one another, "Peace be with you." What did we mean by that? In our individualistic culture, we tend to hear these words either as the absence of war, which hardly pertains in our time, or as perhaps some kind of personal serenity. And they do mean that, of course. And yet these are words which connote something much grander in scope. Peace, shalom. This is about the wholeness of life within harmonious community. True peace is not some individual pursuit. Indeed, it cannot be realized in isolation from God's larger beloved world. Peace, it is not only a wish or a vague hope, it is a calling, a way of life for individual disciples and for the community of faith. And in the same way, the Beatitudes are not merely individual virtues, and neither are they speaking of episodic events in one's personal life. The Beatitudes are interwoven. They form a holistic way of life for individual disciples and, again, for the community of faith. If, for instance, we are of a gentle spirit, we will find ways to show mercy, not that mercy which is pity, but that mercy which is active caring for others. And this must be personal, and we must act to relieve individual suffering. Perhaps it is the person sitting next to you, or perhaps it is the people I pass on the sidewalk coming up here, and you pass them too. There is so much individual suffering, but we dare not stop there. What we must address as mercy, as active caring, is all of those structures of church and of world which create that suffering. The more we act with undaunted, gentle power, the more powerful we become. Again, if we hunger and thirst to see right prevail, we will be sorrowful. We will mourn at the suffering of God's beloved world. And that consolation, that comfort that God gives to us and that we, as a community of active caring, give to one another will not be simply a cessation of sorrow, then elimination of mourning. Indeed, your sorrow may be deepened the more you become active, but the comfort that is given is found in an increase of efforts to relieve the suffering. Joan Baez, a lifelong activist for peace and for justice, has wisely said, "The antidote to despair is action." There used to be a marquee outside of St. Boniface Church in the Tenderloin, and that marquee read, "There can be no peace without justice." So the more we undertake the works of peace, wholeness, and harmony of life for all of God's beloved world, the more we will know our need of God. Our action is guided by that vision of the realm of heaven which is given to us throughout the scriptures, and the contrast between that glorious vision and what we see around us will drive us to our knees in solitary and communal prayer. We will know our need of God. If we only pray for peace, we are at risk of simply building spiritual fallout shelters, shielding us from God's call to daringly plunge into the works of shalom. On the other hand, if we only resist injustice and violence and do not pray without ceasing, we will become small versions of that which we say we are trying to change. So here is an exciting, if scary, truth. The more we engage in the acts of mercy, active caring, peacemaking, gentleness, which is not weakness, but which nonviolently and persistently confronts the structures of violence, the more our eyes are opened to what we know is already out there, the violence. The more we engage in the building up of God's peaceable realm, pushing us beyond our comfort and our experience, the more we will see, and the more we see, the more we will lament. Paradoxically, at the same time, we will find a deepened, expanded comfort as we find, through acting, more and more people who are themselves acting and giving their life's energies to the same vision. Not all of them will share our faith, but that should not stop us from allying ourselves with all of those who are true peacemakers. And so here is perhaps an odd-sounding question in this new year. Ask yourself, what breaks your heart the most? As you look at God's world, as you look around you, there are many things that tug on our hearts because we are people of gentle spirit. But what breaks your heart the most? This is the way God calls us into action. So let me share that which breaks open my heart the most. It is not the only heartache, but it is the one which, over my 41 years in the Tenderloin and almost 80 years of life, has crystallized as the most painful heartache for me. It is the centuries-long, worldwide, ongoing violence against women. Between 2001 and 2012, 6,410 women in the United States were killed by an intimate partner with a gun, more than the total number of United States troops that were killed in the wars on Iraq and Afghanistan combined. Why can't we get control of guns? We must do this. In the United States, another woman is beaten every 9 seconds. Sexual assault is a worldwide epidemic. This is not a happy thought, but it is a reality. And so there came a time when, in a period of just 3 months, in the fall of 1996, 5 prostituted women were murdered in San Francisco. And this became what was needed to kick Network Ministries into action, an action which resulted in the Safe House for homeless women who are escaping prostitution. Let me give you some statistics about women who get caught up in prostitution. In the United States, from studies we know, and this is mirrored in the women who come to our Safe House, at least 70% of prostituted women have suffered long-term incest. At least 90% have suffered long-term child abuse of some sort. Fewer than half have completed high school, although we have had at Safe House some women with graduate degrees, all of them mentally ill. And in the United States, the average age for a female entering prostitution is 14. We have taken women who were on the street as young as 8 and 9 years old. And most recently, we took a woman who was kidnapped at age 8 and held as a sex slave for 7 years until she was too old to be appealing anymore. And then she was just literally dumped on the sidewalk. I'm happy to tell you that this woman is doing really well at Safe House. Prostituted women have been shamed and shunned and shunted aside by our society, including, sadly, much of the church. Thank you so much to this congregation and to many of you individually for your support of the work of Safe House. The work there is a work of shalom, wholeness of life within harmonious community. And it is not just that for the women who come. It is that for all of us, for our secular and our faith communities, as we open our doors and our hearts and our minds to these resilient, courageous, wise women. I invite you to share an early Christmas gift, which I received one day quite unexpectedly. For some reason, all on the same day, 4 of the graduates of Safe House called me. And they called to, even though I'm retired now, we continue to be in touch with each other. All of them called to tell me what was happening in their lives. And all of these women reflected those statistics I gave you until they came to Safe House, where with our comprehensive program, they found healing and new life. So Beth, who found herself as an artist while she was at Safe House, who went on to gain a degree in interior architectural design, now works for a renowned international firm. Unfortunately, she has to be in Los Angeles, so we don't get to see her too much. But she called to exult in her recent promotion to senior designer in this firm. And she's now making more money than I ever did. But she went on to say, "I look at the homeless people in Los Angeles, and I feel called to give back because of what was given to me." And she has created and drawn her entire firm into an outreach to homeless people, and especially to offer healing for the women who are out there. Barbara called, joyfully reporting that she was nearing the end of her 4-year effort to regain her nurse's license. Barbara, under the stress of long hours, sometimes double shifts, succumbed to that temptation which sadly many nurses and other health professionals do, the temptation found in that medicine closet. And she ended up homeless, mentally ill, drug addicted, and prostituting. But she came to Safe House, and that's where her life turned around. When she completes her rehab program, which will be in about 3 months, she will regain that license. She is now working at a community mental health center, and she says, I want to stay here because I want to help people as I was helped. Janice called to tell of her progress in establishing her own catering business so that she can hire women off the streets and love them and mentor them according to the love and the mentoring that was offered to her. And Tony, who was the first of many homeless, prostituted Iraq War veterans who came to Safe House, Tony found her ability to work with numbers while she was there. She got an accounting degree, and she has just left a well-paying job as an accountant in order to become a combination case manager and operations manager of Safe House. Every one of these women said, I want to give back. How much more for us? We who have been given so much, think in terms of giving back. So much I am inspired by these women. And this is joyful. You know, when we talk of people who have made this change, it should not be a downer. It should be uplifting and inspiring, because God is at work. God is at work where we do not see her, bringing new life and healing. One last thing. Recently, I played a minor role in stopping our mayor's effort to build a new jail. We do not need this jail. I'll be glad to discuss it with you afterwards if you like. But this was a 2-year effort by an incredible coalition of people, racial, ethnic, and age diversity, coming together to say we have to stop only thinking about locking people up in jail, and especially the mentally ill. So now a work group has formed to map out what we need to do instead, how we may use our resources for healing, especially for those who are mentally ill. And if you walk the streets, you see them. And if you go to jail, you will find that they stay there much longer than those who are not mentally ill. Thanks be to God. In a recent vote, the Board of Supervisors unanimously refused the funding to build this new jail after 2 years of hard work. I said to the woman, the 73-year-old woman who volunteered herself to lead this effort, Roma, why are you doing this? And she said, I don't know. It just seems like the right thing to do. And so, rejoice that there are people who think outside the box. There are people working for true peace. And in this new year, pray for your heart to be broken open anew. Not just to be broken, because that sounds like something that is disabling. Broken open to let God's love come in along with what you see in God's world. Let your heart be broken open anew and resolve to understand and follow that as God's call to engage once again and more deeply in the work of shalom. Blessed are those who work for peace, for they shall be called the children of God.